Welcome back to the Challenge Total Madness Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 3. I am Brian Cohn. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Asher. Allie, how are you?
Brian, I'm doing great. I'm doing great for a number of reasons. One, my birthday was yesterday, and even in quarantine, I love my birthday. So, shout out to me for having been born.
You did a great job.
We have some stuff maybe to talk about that, but I do want to go to immediately the number two reason why I'm here, why I'm excited. Maybe this is really number one. My birthday is number two, is that we have a guest today joining us in quarantine.
We do. Very special guest. Nikolai.
Yeah.
Nikolai, okay. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We did such a good job there, Brian. I'm proud of us.
It's like we've been doing this together for like 6 years.
So Nikolai is the lucky winner who gets to spend his night with us talking about this great episode. But Nikolai won the auction, so he's a winner, like somebody else in this episode. We'll get to it. And he generously supported Michigan Law's SFF program. And we're so excited to welcome him into the Drunk Aunt family. Nikolai, why are you here? Do you know what you signed up for?
I do know what I signed up for. I've been listening to you guys for a couple seasons now, The Challenge, and been a part of the RHAP kind of listening audience for a while now. I think since Cagayan is when I started listening. So I've kind of been on the outside for a while.
Well, there's no better way to get inside the RHAP world than joining the lowest podcast on the RHAP totem pole. But no, I'm really happy you're here. I'm excited to talk to you. Brian, are you excited as well? Let's get some energy for this Thursday night.
I know we have a glass of water next to me. This time I have a glass of wine, so like I'm ready to get crazy.
Yep. Now it's a party.
Yeah, but so Nikolai, what's your history with The Challenge? You said you've been listening to us for a few seasons. How far does your history go back with the show?
It doesn't go that far back. It's probably, I want to say like I've watched the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 seasons. So I haven't really gone back for any of the classic seasons really, but I've been just glued to it for, I don't know, the past couple of years now.
That's enough for us. The only requirement, the fine print in the auction was, must have at least watched this season. So honestly, I get nervous when we put this out there, but we've gotten lucky last year with the winner, and I feel like we're already lucky this year with the winner. So I feel good about having very limited restrictions on who can join us. It seems to work out, knock on wood.
Yeah, and I do qualify this year. I have been watching.
So what's your impression of the season? We're only a few episodes in, but are you feeling good vibes about the season overall or no? Come with the hot takes if you're anti the season.
I don't think my take's going to be that hot. I mean, I like the season. I like the twist that they've done with the Red Skulls. I think that it adds another layer of strategy to kind of a cast that doesn't really always think about strategy. So it's fun to see some of our Big Brother and Survivor people come in and actually like think a little bit and not just Bananas being and Wes being the only people thinking strategy, really. But
I think it's
cool with all the people that are being brought in. I like all the different perspectives on strategy that people are coming in with. The fact that people are always hated on bringing people from outside shows. But I think now we're adding more strategy, more layers to it. Seeing people that have done different strategy games and having that perspective, I think it's adding even more and forcing the existing players to go to that level too, which I think adds to the level of gameplay that we're seeing.
Yeah. And another thing that I love about The Challenge is that it's a whole bunch of like seasoned reality stars. So they know how to do confessionals, and like you have some of the people come from Big Brother who have a lot of experience, you know, doing confessionals and, you know, hamming it up, especially for Big Brother. So, yeah, I mean, it's always entertaining. And yeah, I've been loving this season.
I don't want to step on you again, Brian, because I'm mortified at our professionals. I feel like, you know, now we have a direct watcher here. So you have to like be on our, I'm wearing a suit. You can't see me, but I have a full 3-piece suit on. No, I don't. All right. I want to toot our own horn for a second.
I from last like week. Right
the I struggle too once in a while. No, but I feel like this episode starts with the veteran guys who, you know, like Jay, I look up to, too. And I grew up watching them, too. And they're asking the same questions about this twist as we are. Like, what's going to happen when two men who are in the tribune or two women both want to go in? Nikolai, any theories? And this is totally made up because we don't know. Any theories about what might happen in that situation?
I don't know. If I guess we may have to deal with a tiebreaker, or it may just end up being whoever can grab the ear of the third wheel there in the tribunal.
Yeah, it's a real Laurel situation in Survivor. Like, I think we did get a little more insight that you're right on that, that like when, you know, jumping ahead, when CT has concerns about Swaggy and Bailey, that like that third person's going to play a pivotal role. I really hope we see that happen, Brian, this season.
Yeah, and then also another way, what if all three are of the same gender during a guys or girls do, like, if they all want to vote for themselves, does that all cancel each other out? So that's another layer we could potentially see as well.
I want to just, like, everyone get your barf bags ready, because I want to get into J and D right off the bat. There's going to be a lot of JD Rogan talk during this podcast, so I apologize. No refunds.
Sound like a law firm. J.D. Rogan.
Or like a mattress company.
This is the type of jokes you have to get used to, though.
Like that I have to get used to, or that Nikolai has to get used to?
Nikolai.
Oh, I'm used to it.
Yeah. He has to give me the fake courtesy laughs when I make these stupid jokes. Otherwise, I'll stop doing them.
It's not a courtesy laugh. I lie. It's not bad. It's like J.D. Wentworth or whatever that is.
Exactly.
Yeah, just like you can't see Allie's suit, I'm smiling ear to ear right now.
There you go.
Just like my suit, that's not real, yeah. So who's using who? Like, we're going to talk about this, but like, let's not get into the nitty gritty of like the full disgusting makeout and whatever. Like, J and D are flirting off the top. They're both giving us confessionals of like, this is going to hurt my game with Rogan for Jay. And D is like, I want to get back at Rogan, but Jay is also not connected in the house, and D is connected in the house. So like, is any of their relationship real, Nikolai, or is this just like purely game for both of them?
I think for Jay it's absolutely game, and for D I think she's just trying to get under Rogan's skin. But you mentioned that you don't think Jay's connected. I think Jay is pretty connected, at least with like the Big Brother people.
No, that's true. And he definitely like demonstrates later in the vote that he has made inroads for himself. But like coming in. No, that's fair. He's not as connected as, say, like Bananas, but few are. And I am concerned. Did you watch X on the Beach, Nikolai?
I did. Yeah.
Where is the conversation about Bananas and Morgan? Because that, I think, is what the baggage I'm bringing in is like Morgan's with Bananas and with BB people, and Jay is supposed to be like sort of a rival of that, but he seems to be doing fine and no one's mentioning it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's probably spent more time outside with the BB people, and because also Morgan was on the Over the Top or whatever, so I don't know how like plugged in she is with the rest of like the BB proper people. But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to come to a head at some point. I think that, like you said, that conversation is going to happen. And I think it's going to be a little later when maybe one of them is on their way out.
Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, it's tough. I think MTV has just made it clear that they kind of pick and choose history where they want to fit it in. Like we saw with Asaf that they just completely disregarded her, him being on Are You the One with Tori. We've seen other instances where they just pick, like they disregard one person's show, but pick another person's show, one person's history, discard another person's history. So unless it's like becomes a thing, like even if they may have had a conversation, if it didn't escalate and there was just nothing, then maybe that's why they're not putting in. So unless it dictates a vote or dictates a fight, which I don't think it will at this point, I feel like we're not going to see it.
I guess that's true. I guess I'm just more disappointed that it's not causing more of a stir. I guess it is just like they made out a few times on a show and now she's in a serious relationship with Banana. So like, sorry for thirsting for drama. It's been a long time since I've been out and seen people. I'm like, where is the tea on that? Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it. I was just saying, yeah.
I was going to say, leave it to Swaley to bring some level of interest. We did speculate when their first merch would show up. Edward Morris says, please go into great detail about the blanket. Brian, do you have any thoughts on Swaley's blanket of selfies?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's once again Anissa coming through in the clutch with the great. I love that they gave her this moment to bring up, because I'm sure other people had confessions about it. But Anissa delivering once again with the straight guy looks, the comments. She's killing it once again. Big Anissa fan, always have been. But yeah, the blanket is, it's a lot. And I think the bigger question is who created it? Because normally you would think, like, in the relationship, the girl would create it. But here, I think this was a Swaggy creation.
Just leave it to Brian to hammer home gender norms. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is merch. I mean, maybe it was a gift. I love this. Like, I think this is genius to bring a blanket from home with your own pictures. Nikolai, were you a Big Brother fan? Did you watch the Swaley season?
I did, yeah. I saw the bleeding cheek and everything.
Oh, God. So this is no surprise to you then to see this egotistical blanket that I wish I had, honestly.
No. And another thing that I forgot from Big Brother is that Swaggy is just always yelling at confessional. For some reason, he just decides that he wants to yell into the camera. And I don't know. I guess I'm here for it. But the other, like, Swaggy thing.
That's my favorite thing. I guess I'm here for it, which is the biggest I'm not here for it thing in the world.
And another thing that is just the swaggiest thing is to have on the blanket wearing a shirt with your picture on it.
The Inception selfie.
Exactly.
The Swaggyception. Now, you've said you've been listening to our podcast for a number of seasons. Were you as surprised as I was to hear Brian come around on Anissa?
Yeah, but I do have a beef with you guys, because you guys gave Bear such a hard time in the first couple seasons he was on. And since he's hit the screen, Bear has been my favorite challenge contestant.
Okay, love this. Say more. Why? Come for us.
Bear, he's just, like, he's great TV. He falls in love every season. He makes that girl fall for him, and he just, I don't know, he's just so entertaining. I love his confessionals, and he's, like, what he does is so transparent, and everybody should be seeing straight through it, but for some reason, it just works. So,
I think that's really fair. I mean, oh, go ahead, yeah. Brian.
No, yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's definitely fair. And I think this season, and I think parts of last season, I started to come around. I just think there's a difference between being, like, a vicious jackass and being, like, a funny jackass. And I think he's now gravitating towards the latter. And maybe I have to go back and watch his first season, but I just remember him being, like, more mean the first time around, and now he's more playful. So I think that's where, at least for me, where I've started to come more along on the on the pro Bear side.
Yeah.
Imagine Brian actually going back and watching that season. I had the same instinct of sort of, like, I remember being, like, revolted by Bear, like, finding Bear revolting. And I do think I want to say his last season. Okay. People need to stop FaceTiming with no warning. This is a quarantine. That doesn't mean you could just hit me with a FaceTime arbitrarily. Okay, sorry. I know you guys couldn't hear my phone ringing, but it really took over my whole computer and my phone.
Yeah, Jonathan Foreman. Don't FaceTime now.
It's not Jonathan Foreman, but it is a friend that you recently met. No, he knows I do the podcast on Thursdays. But the point with Bear is, like, I think this is a great, we're at, like, peak Bear, because every time they cut to Bear sort of, like, arbitrarily claiming that there's a flirtation going on with Kayla, even though she's just, like, breathing near someone else. Like, it's hilarious. Like, they go to slow motion. Bear indulges. He gets it. He's producing these moments. And, like, I think Bear has been really fun this season. So I think I have to eat crow on a lot of these people. Bear probably from the first season he was on. And so many of the Big Brother people that I said I was not thrilled with. NCT, who I thought, like, would never get a chance to even go in because I didn't think he was ever going to win anything. Right. And, you know, we'll talk about it. But at least he performed really well up until this point. So I, you know, I'm just sitting here all day saying I'm wrong. I'm okay with that. And Nikolai, please continue to come for us. That would be a great turn of events. if you won the auction just to come on and tell us off, which is not what you did, but I'd be here for that for sure. Yeah, anything we'll else see. We're wrong about all the time?
We may get to it. We'll see.
Okay, perfect.
Looking forward to it.
All right, let's talk about the Bananas and Ashley rivalry. Like, Bananas is the only person who can, like, give people compliments while still wrecking them. Like, he's like, she's smarter than she looks, and she's really good at this game, and she's horrible, and no one trusts her, and she's a snake. Where are we going with this the rest of the season, Brian?
Yeah, what's funny is that was my exact reaction too. Like, I know it maybe it reached a point of being me, but I thought for the majority of what Bananas was saying, he was being as nice as he can be in, like, his way. Like, he was actually giving her a lot of compliments, and then he kind of got a little off track with some of the, like, you know, that, you know, she's like vile and like no one wants to be with her. Like, yeah, I guess that's where it got a little mean, but for the most part, it was complimentary. And, like, I think what Ashley said, not the making friends part, but I thought the part that really stuck out and was 100% the reason why Bananas does have animosity towards Ashley, it's the fact that she has made more winnings off the show than, I guess maybe outside the show, Bananas has more, but the fact that Ashley's won more money, I feel like has to irk him a little bit.
It's weird, though, because Bananas gets a bigger paycheck to come on. I mean, I don't know for sure. I have to imagine Ashley gets well paid to come on, too, but, like, Bananas season after season collects a nice check whether or not he wins. But I don't know, Nikolai, do you think we're going to be seeing this bear more fruit between Bananas and Ashley as we move on?
I hope so. And I'm usually on Bananas' side, but I actually am on Smashley's side this season. and even though all Bananas was doing was putting his loofah away, but she has a good point that she, like you guys said, that she's won more money than him. And I think that does kind of just get under Banana's skin a little bit. And I think that Nani is right that they kind of play the same, not necessarily the same game, because I think Ashley will jump alliances, at least from what I've seen. She kind of jumps, like Bananas was saying, jumping alliances a little more. But because Bananas, I think, typically we'll stick with some of the same people or same core. But I think Ashley is a lot more, she's smart about the game. And I think she has an idea of what she's doing a lot more than I think she presents and people give her credit for.
And I think that's exactly part of the problem for her with Bananas is like, yeah, Bananas is blowing up her game, like sees the good game she plays and is blowing it up to everyone, which is like part of her game is being unassuming despite being like a very winning player. But I love this just because Bananas like really knows how to push Ashley's buttons. I think he was behind the toilet seat thing too.
I believe
I'm not going to quiz myself, but like, this is exactly what he wants. And like now Bananas is working with Wes. So he's not going to be fighting with Wes. So he knows he needs, you know, I'm more cynical. He knows he needs some entertainment in the house, be it for the show or for himself. And if he literally pushes Ashley in the least offensive way possible to just basically be praising her game, even though he knows exactly what he's doing, like you said, Nikolai's not putting his loop away, whatever. But like, she goes all the way off to the point where she's like hurting her own game over it, which is exactly what he wants. And in the fan fiction of my life, like, how amazing would it be if Ashley, Bananas, and Wes were all working together this season? Maybe next season.
Yeah, that would be the unholier alliance.
Exactly. Well,
all three of them in like a confessional set with, and then Ashley's head just pops up and then the little emojis and stuff pop up. Yeah, we'll look forward to that in a couple of years.
There were so many great one-off lines this episode too, where like CT's like, if Ashley's the devil, what does that make Johnny? Like, that is so true. Like, yep. Johnny be the unholiest alliance.
It was very funny when Ashley just stomped out and just screamed at him to like, make a friend, you weirdo. Like, to call someone a weirdo, that's almost like the meanest thing. Like, any other like words, sometimes those like brush off. But when you call someone a weirdo, like that, like probably sits with him. He's like, am I actually like weird? Like, am I?
I wrote that down. Like, note to self: make friends, you weirdo.
So did I.
Self help. Yeah,
that was a great line.
I did hate the age thing, because while Bananas is like the grandfather of the challenge, to me, it's like, I hate when younger people on the show come for the older people. Cause like, if you are fortunate enough to keep getting asked back, you will still come. So that to me was like, do a little bit better, Ashley, when she's like, you're the grandfather to everyone here. Like, I looked up their age. She's 32. He's 37. Like, certainly Bananas is older, but like, Ashley, you've been around the block on this challenge too. You're not like a fresh rookie calling him old. But Nikolai, you're a big Bananas fan. I need to dig more into that. Can't just like slip by.
I'm not a huge Bananas fan, but I did like when he stole the money from Sarah. I thought that was just amazing television. And I think I just got a good impression from Art and an entertaining impression from him there. I'm not saying that I want to go hang out with him and would trust him with my life, but I certainly think he's good TV. And I think that he brings an important he brings skills to the challenge, and he's a good narrator and stuff. So I think that I appreciate him as, you know, like a talent on the challenge.
Just when I said we get lucky with who comes on to join us. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I can't argue with that. I totally, totally agree. It's been weird, Brian, though, to see Bananas fall from grace. Like when we got started doing this podcast 100 years ago, like, did you imagine a world where Bananas would not be running the show?
No, and not at all. And even more than that, like I was thinking, oh, maybe we'll actually be getting a long time with Bananas and Wes. And then when his name starts getting tossed around with his recent history, I'm like, oh my God, is he going to be, you know, done in episode 3 again? Like I would have no confidence if he went into an elimination that he would win. So like I'm worried anytime he pops up that, all right, this is going to be it. He's going to be gone.
It's very strange. Even in the 6 seasons or so that you've been watching, I don't know why I made up 6. Is that what you said, Nicole? I'm sorry,
yeah, we'll
my brain just started. Okay, even the whatever seasons, like, and that's, we've only been doing what? How many seasons, Brian? We've been here. Like, it's so 40? Crazy how this world has just been like turned upside down. But let's talk about the challenge, because I think that sets up some very interesting voting strategy that we've been talking about. But let's get through this.
Yeah, Brian, challenge this week. That's my cue. Decode and detonate, combination of puzzle and running, where you have each person has a set of codes to unlock a key, and you have to run up to decode them and eventually blow up a truck in a very cool and action hero movie fashion.
Nikolai, what did you think of this challenge?
I thought it was fun. It's a puzzle challenge. It really rewards those with photographic memories. And we got a little more of the Jordan versus Fessy, who's going to be the alpha of the season in the challenges, at least.
What do you think of that? Like, what's your call there? Do you think Fessy, there's like, is that building to anything? Is Jordan going to go up against Fessy? Are they going to run the challenge together, the final together? What do you make of that?
I don't know. I think it may just be establishing Fessy as like the next big thing.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's dangerous words.
That's the kiss of death around here.
Yeah, it could be. But yeah, I mean, Fessy's just a giant and like kind of an athletic specimen, and he has, I guess he's friendly. So I think he's going to go real deep this season. I unless they block him out of the final, I don't see how he doesn't get to the final. And with Jordan, Jordan's usually a lock for the final, and he, jumping ahead a little bit, tried to throw himself in for elimination this week. But I don't know that he won't get blocked out of the final either. Once people start thinking about strategy and that you can really block some of these stronger players from getting to the final.
Let's jump ahead and just talk about that, like how this is going to happen. We got a lot of questions this week about like, well, shouldn't the strategy just to be to always throw the person in with the red skull so that only one person is left at the end? And then we got some people saying like, that's generally stupid strategy because you have limited opportunities to go to the end. Shouldn't like you want new people to be going in? Now, I have to believe, we've speculated in weeks past that, I don't know, I just talked like I'm Ebenezer Scrooge. We've talked about it in past weeks that, you know, maybe there's going to be a purge at the end. I have to believe that the people at the end who have not gone into an elimination or don't have a red skull, so it's the same people, the people who don't have a red skull will have one or two opportunities to do a purge style red skull grab, because it could be the end of it where there's like two people in the final. Or do you think MTV would be fine with that?
I think they'd be fine with that. I really think that they're going to really push this, that you have to get into elimination to get. I think we might see a purge here or there, but that it'll just be like wean out like a couple people. Like if you finished last year, just out. I don't think we're going to get like, you know, let's say six or seven people left. All right, everyone's in this challenge and, you know, this is your way to earn. I think you're going to have to risk it in an elimination and find your way in to get in. I think there's going to be some people who are still in the end of the game, and TG's like, all right, see ya.
So you think there's a world where, like, they, I mean, I guess it's unlikely that this would work, but like presumably then you're setting up the rules of the game so that only one man and one woman are qualified for the final.
I think you could, yeah, I think they theoretically could do that, but it's like, it's the same type of thing when you do Are You the One, where theoretically the season can end after 2 weeks. I just think they're trusting the fact that that's just not going to happen.
What do you think, Nikolai? Brian's making some good points.
Yeah, I'm actually with Brian on that, because I think that they're establishing the rules on the... And yeah, there you go. I think they're establishing the rules here at the beginning, and I would love to see that moment where they're waiting for that purge, and then CJ just looks at him, is just, or TJ just looks at him, he's just like, yeah, we told you you had to go to an elimination, and you guys didn't, so I'll see you next season.
So if there's a purge like midway, and I would be fine with that. I mean, for MTV to like stick with the format one time would be incredible. Like, yeah. Do you think, Nikolai, like if there's a purge midway through, because there are a lot of people, right? Like how many weeks can like there's a lot of people to get through. If there's a purge, do you think it would be BS if the winner of the purge got a red skull?
I don't think so. I think that
Ryan, you seem to. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I think that if they threw that in there, I guess if it's just a chance for one person to get it, I think that's okay. Or one of each sex to get it, I think that's cool. And then that's just like another round of the game, essentially. But yeah, I don't know that you should reward more than one or two people. And I think I would prefer for it to be midway through the game, like you just laid out, rather than kind of at the end where it's like the round right before the final or something.
Brian, you seem to make, you made it seem like, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, that you would not want to see a winner.
I think they should play this out the whole way, that, you know, you could win a challenge and put yourself in a position to go into elimination, but you should have to take your chances in a crapshoot, whatever the elimination may be, against one person. And that's it. I don't think that you should have to earn your way in by having the risk of, if I lose, I am out. So I don't want them to have a cop out. And I think they probably will. I think there's a decent chance that midway through, like you said, they'll do something like that. But I hope they just play this out clean, straight through.
Here's why I'm with Nikolai on that. Like, because of exactly what you just said, like, if there's a risk that you go home and you win, you should get a red skull. Like, to me, that's a purge, even though, like, to me, winning a purge is the same as the house voting you in if you didn't ask to go in. You know, like, it's like not like everybody who's going to go into an elimination is going to do so because they, like, volunteered and, like, met their fate and rolled the dice. Like, sometimes you just get voted in, especially as weeks go on and the tough players get tougher. But I think it's sort of like, I wouldn't want a challenge, like the winner of a challenge, to be in the tribunal and to get a red skull. Like, I would agree that that's crap. But like, if the stakes are you lose and you go home, I don't mind them moving things along and making another way to get a red skull that has similar stakes, especially because, like, you know, it's sort of like an immunity idol, right? Like, there are multiple chances to get ahead in many reality shows. Like, okay, you can strategize your way to not get voted in or to not get voted out. You can, like on Survivor, let's say, you can win an immunity challenge or you can find an immunity idol. So there's like three ways to beat death in that. And I do think that like winning an elimination shouldn't necessarily be the only way to get into a final, especially for people like Jordan who may not be able to get sent in. So like, you can either get voted in, you can win the tribunal and send yourself in, or maybe there's one opportunity that you can just beast the entire house, still beat elimination and get in. So I've totally made this up. This may never happen, but I would be fine with it. And now we don't have to talk about it in the event that it does happen. Bailey, I have a really smart brain.
That's right. Smart brain.
Did you like this challenge?
Yeah, I did. I like the fact that it was made it a pretty even playing field. It gave different people a chance to win. It wasn't tilted any one way. It kind of combined different factors into a challenge. And also, another key factor, it wasn't too long. Like, it went along pretty quick. I know with one of these type of puzzles, like, there's no way to play along. So we're kind of just watching people and give their commentary. But I did think they sped it along pretty quickly, and we got to see like the major players that were eventually win or came close to winning how they were doing. So I enjoyed this one.
I agree. Biggest thing for me, one heat. Like, guys and girls went together. It wasn't confusing. I really do think, you know, you don't need to have 3,000 layers to just a regular run-of-the-mill challenge. It was a puzzle. It was running. There was explosions. We're done. Two people win. That's it. No, who did the fastest time where everybody has to finish and then we count. I liked this. It was simple, but I liked it. We have to talk about what I think might be controversial, but I'd like to ask the panel. Nikolai, CT wins. Boom. Great. Bailey comes in second because she looks at Jenny's puzzle. Who has a dog?
It's me. I'm sorry. I thought he was going to.
Don't be sorry. Hey. I'm so excited that you have a dog. No, that's incredible. Brian, I think you're getting a dog. Sweet. I stalked your Instagram. So I was like, is that.
He doesn't ruin your podcast by just barking in the background for no reason.
Now we have a fourth member. It's great.
Making the podcast. He will become a character on the show. So your dog is up in arms about this. Are you up in arms? Do you think that this was, you know, fair play to Jenny? I've been watching a lot of Love Island, so I say a lot of British stuff. Fair play to her to outsmart and recognize a character that she was missing on Jenny's board and use it, or was this cheating?
No, I love that Bailey did this, and this is one of the things I'll give her props for, because it's all fair game. I mean, like, you're out there at the challenge, and if that's a way that you're going to gather information, that's a way that you can do it. Like she said, you know, she's taking a risk because Jenny may be wrong about it. And we've seen this happen in Survivor and like other competitions where like you're in plain view of everyone else. So I personally don't have any problems with her strategy there.
Yep.
Plain view Sue of everyone else. Brian, what are you? Do I'm you sorry, agree the, or can we have some debate here?
I totally agree. I think this was great. I think it also goes to show again about why it's great to bring on people that have experience in these type of competition shows. If you bring someone on who's totally new, like they maybe wouldn't do it, they wouldn't want to risk it, but you have someone who's on a show like this that has done competitions, that is willing to do whatever they need to win, and they kind of know how to kind of cheat the system a little bit, and this is what you get. So I 100% love it. This Bailey and Swaggy are 100% delivering. BB is delivering tenfold, so I'm so happy for them.
I agree. It's just three tens across the board from us. I think it was great, and I think it was not by accident. Like, the people who make these challenges are not freaking noobs. Like, they're blowing shit up. Like, they know what's going on. If they wanted to make it impossible, they have made it so that you can cover your puzzle before. I think this was a valid part of the game. I loved it from Bailey, and she was rewarded for it. I want to talk about Swaggy, though, because Nikolai mentioned it benefits people with a photographic memory, which Swaggy was bragging about. But what happened there? We see him call time. Did we get confirmation besides that he did not win, that he was wrong?
Yeah.
I don't know that they said anything else other than that. But yeah, I mean, like, clearly he didn't get the answer.
Swaggy's just like, it's not a good look. Like, I got a photographic memory, I'm going to be fine. And then Bailey wins and he's like, yes, Bay, yes. Because that was the only chance.
He claimed, like, I know
this.
He was the first one to like ask for a check. But then he claimed, like, oh, it's only between, like, me and CT. Like, if you're wrong, like, your whole thing could be wrong. Like, you're not, it might not be even close to winning. So, like, he might be giving himself even a little too much credit.
You think? Swaggy giving himself too much credit?
Oh, no way, no way.
Any other takeaways from the interview about the challenge before we get to what I think is the more interesting stuff this episode of the everything else from here?
Well, after Are we talking about the selection of the tribunal yet?
Yeah, yeah, let's do that. I'm okay. More into that. Sorry, Brian, no final thoughts for you. Let's get right to that, Nikolai. Set it up if you want.
Yeah, there was the superhero right. Walk away right there. So yeah, I thought CT was dead on here. He really had his head wrapped around what was going on. That, you know, he didn't want to basically be in the minority there. And he knows that the two of them, Bailey and Swaggy, if they're both on the tribunal together, then obviously they can decide whatever happens. So I like that he questioned that and he put it right there in front of everybody. And he basically forced their hand and made them agree to a deal and to see how they would react and how they would play it out. And I thought it was funny that Swaggy asked if he thought that all BB people back door, and then he like cut himself off and he said, "You mean backstab people?" So I just thought it was funny that he was getting kind of the vocabulary a little mixed up there and maybe tipping his hand a little bit. But yeah, I thought CT played this well.
I'm surprised that CT sort of bent to their will. I guess he didn't really have a like, it's sort of like you have to decide what hill you're going to die on, especially when you're making new relationships. And I guess it seems more reasonable for Bailey to die on the saving Swaggy hill than for CT to like go through the levels of like, I don't trust you at all, and I'm going to fight and not let your fiance be safe. Like, that would be a very strong move from CT, but I don't know, Brian, what was your reading this?
Not to disagree with the newbie, but I'm 100% with Nikolai. I think he played it perfectly, and I kind of think he knew. I think this was all a plan. I think he knew what he had to do, like Nikolai was saying, to get what he wanted. And I don't think this was him bending down to agree with Bailey and then Swaggy. I think he knew that this is my best way to guarantee myself going in is let me force Bailey's hand, make her declare to everyone that like she's going to do this, knowing that she doesn't have a lot of social capital. So she blows it here. Like, that's really going to screw her for the rest of the game and the rest of her kind of challenge career, at least for maybe the next season. So I think CT played this absolutely dead on perfectly.
I do think it does go to what we discussed last week, potentially, that Bailey and Swaggy are savvy enough reality TV people to know that just longevity in the game and building relationships will increase the likelihood that they stay on rather than going in early and going home early like Jen. So I think that also comes into play here where it's like, I really believe that Swaggy did not want to go in this week against Jay or against anyone.
Probably not. Plus,
I think Bailey's also kind of like created this reputation where she's the crazy one and she's not going to back down to anybody. Because back to the blanket, Anissa, when she was in her confessional, when she was saying that, you know, Swaggy would probably forgive her for this joke, but Bailey might not. I think that's kind of telling about the image that Bailey's putting out.
Yeah, that's a great point. People have seemed very afraid to piss Bailey off, which we don't usually see rookies coming in and being able to establish like that level of intimidation against these, like, you know, 13, 14, 15 season vets. So it's like pretty wild to see people, you know, giving Bailey that respect right away. And that's definitely kudos to Bailey. Although, you know, hopefully it doesn't bite her at some point, but right now it seems to be working.
And it's interesting because it's not like, I don't think Bailey walked away from Big Brother with that big of a reputation of being like this fierce person. You know, like, I know she had that one scene of like biting her lip, and I guess maybe that's all what people see from her and that's what they're taking. But at least I didn't come away with it being like, oh my God, Bailey's like this crazy, like, you don't want to mess with her, she'll like go nuts. So like, I didn't come away with it, but I guess if you only see that one clip, that's like your lasting memory of her, that could kind of stick.
Sorry, I took a bad opportunity to gummy bear. I thought that was going to be a debate. you know, simple joys in quarantine. All right, so let's talk about this. A lot of drama, for lack of a better word, happening with what should be a pretty straightforward vote for Jay. At least that's what I expected. It was a live tribal, baby. I mean, Brian, any like, I feel like to me, it comes to a head at the like actual vote, but like any standout moments from this, like what should we be gleaning from this like kind of live sequence?
Yeah, you know, before this is, the vote? We don't really see this a lot of people actually strategizing and flipping the vote and turn like, that's not something the challenge really has. Normally it's like pretty simple. Like, all right, this is the person who's going to go in and everyone's going to pretty much follow suit. And we had like nearly a flip before the vote. We nearly had a flip at the vote. Like, this was one of the more strategic driven episodes that like the challenge really ever has. It was very fun to watch this group of people, this amount of people all getting behind different plans and stuff like that. It was very entertaining.
Well, Nikolai, can you tell me what the plan was here? Like, if they vote bananas, which is sort of like, okay, what they're maybe going to flip to, you know, like people don't want to vote for Jay, especially the women don't want to vote for Jay. So they're going to vote for bananas. Starts as sort of like a burn slash spite vote, but then maybe it's starting to gain some traction. What is the plan? CT is in the tribunal. Like, were you surprised at all to see like some dudes that might have been at risk if bananas was in, like Nelson and Corey and Wes, sort of like, maybe less so Wes, but like some of the guys I was surprised were so okay with this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's them still trying to wrap their head around the strategy of it all, because the first three votes were Jay, D, and Ashley. I think they were all just rallying behind Jay, or at least, you know, D was at this point. And then Ashley has her vendetta with bananas at this point. But I couldn't wrap my head around what was going on. I was surprised that they were throwing four burn votes at Nelson. Cause I don't consider Kayla as a burn vote, cause she just started going bonkers on him for no reason.
She was burned, but she did not burn her vote.
Yeah. But, cause who was it that voted for bananas? It was JD, Ashley, Fessy, Nelson, and Big T. So I don't know. And then you had Corey on the outside, just as he was saying, he's just gathering information right now. He's not trying to make too many waves, cause I guess he's the brains of Team Young Buck. But yeah, I mean, you had Tori sticking with bananas, even though, you know, you'd think that she would vote for Jordan because Jordan wants to go in. And then you have Jordan and Anissa both voting for Jordan, which is like just two completely burned votes. So, yeah, people aren't, at least those two aren't showing their hand yet. And you got Jenna, Josh, Nani, and Casey not showing their hand. And I was surprised that Casey didn't go with Jay, but she may have already took the numbers, because I think Jay lost by two votes. So yeah, I mean, it was like you guys said, it was a very live tribal for lack of better words.
I just don't know what, like, if bananas goes in, is Fessy the number one guy to get thrown in against him? Because you have to imagine CT is not stepping up, or then Swaggy's not stepping up against bananas. So it was sort of like, to me, you know, crazy that maybe Fessy is just playing fearless. Like, I was just trying to figure out, like, why are we not seeing what the next step in that plan would be besides just throwing bananas in? Maybe CT gives him Jay. You know, like, I don't know what would have happened, especially because Swaggy and Bailey were both two votes against CT's one. But I wanted to see more of the second step to that plan. And maybe it was just that it was never going to happen. I also wanted to see more. You have to imagine CT was doing campaigning, was talking to people and saying, like, I want Jay and I want to go in. But we didn't see that at all.
We didn't. I think Nikolai made a good point about how, like, people are still trying to wrap their head around these new rules. Because we see Ashley, like, wanting to go on this crusade to get bananas in. But if bananas goes in at this point and goes against someone like Jay, or someone who perception wise is weaker, that it's kind of playing into Banana's hand, but you're also wanting to get someone out. So you're getting your enemy out. But then if you get your enemy out, then who might target you to go in? So everyone's trying to balance what exactly they want to do. And I think the next, at least from the early part of the game, and I think we'll still see it for the next few, is people still just straight up, all right, this person doesn't like me, I want to try to get them out, and not trying to use them to get them out. So people aren't really thinking about then the next step of like, all right, so we get Bananas in. Like, now you might get someone weaker, or it could be me, but if I go in, maybe I want to go in, but I don't know if I want to. Like, I don't think people have fully comprehended how to play this. And that's why I like when they do these new twists, because people have to try to learn on the fly, and they're going to make mistakes, but they're fun mistakes and they're interesting mistakes.
But ultimately, it was much ado about nothing because Jay still goes in. But I'm excited to see more votes like this. It definitely confirms that the format's a good one, at least this part of it, to see that much action in the, what is it, mm-hmm. third episode? How long have we been here? But all right, let's talk about the Nelson and Kayla of it all, because Nikolai, you mentioned this wasn't a burn vote. Alex Tria says, are we seeing the beginning of the end of Team Young Buck? Looks like they are planting a storyline of Corey getting frustrated with Nelson and the impact Nelson has on his game and potential to win a season. Now, to me, this moment is why Brian loves Nelson, because Nelson just like freaks out and just tosses Kayla inappropriately under the bus for no reason, just for getting votes. But Nikolai, do you think Corey is going to have to cut Nelson loose at some point this game?
I think if Corey wants to win, he has to. But I don't know that he can gather numbers or that he can put himself in a position where he's able to even do that if he cuts Nelson.
Brian, defend your boy.
Nelson, he really almost played himself here by I knew where he was coming from trying to throw Kayla, like toss Kayla's name out there, just because he felt like it was coming around to him. So I understood a little bit. He just didn't do it in the right spot. You don't do it when the voting is live and you're not ready to go in and don't want to go in. Like, that's something you absolutely wait till at least right after the vote and discuss with Kayla and Corey and figure out what's going on. Because doing it in that spot really tosses plans out the window. And I would almost be, if I was like with Kayla, I'd be a little worried that she's so willing to kind of talk, like change her, like seemingly change her vote at a drop of a hat here. Because obviously they had a plan going in, the Kayla, Nani, and Jenna crew. And like that, it probably wasn't the vote for Nelson. And the fact that she would be so willing to chip things up so quickly, like, I wonder if they went back to her and was like, maybe we should just stick to who we're voting for during the vote and fight after.
Well, wait, Nani and Jenna cast votes for Nelson before this issue.
But I think the first was like the burn vote. And then she was like, all right, now I'm actually voting for you so you can go in. Like, I think if you're looking to burn votes, you then toss something on someone else. That was like, all right, let's try to get the ball rolling and get you to go in here.
No, I agree, but I think it wasn't so much a Kayla like betrays Nelson. Like, to me, I agree with what you're saying. Like, if you're going to be wary of Kayla as Nelson, you handle that later. But I think as Corey demonstrates, like, what happened was not what Nelson said happened. Like, I think Nelson panicked and threw her to the feet of the overlord, bananas. You know, like, oh, well, the only reason that this is coming up is because Kayla threw your name out, which is not what happened. Like, Kayla came to them and gave information. So I think that was bad play. But also, like, yeah, maybe that's a good manipulation of the situation on a show like Big Brother or Survivor when anybody else can go up. But you're not going to flip the vote on Kayla. So at best, he's hoping that Bananas doesn't vote for him, which he's not going to. Like, I don't really understand what he was hoping to gain. I just think Nelson is a bad strategic player and got a little emotional, got a little mosh.
Yeah. And looking at the numbers, it looks like if Kayla would have voted Bananas, Corey would have probably gone Bananas and Bananas would have gone in. So I think Nelson just completely firebombed that possibility.
See, that's interesting. My guess was that Wes's vote is what flipped Corey's vote. But maybe that, I mean, it might have been everything altogether. But to me, like, if Wes makes the vote against, so if you're saying if Wes had voted for Bananas and then Corey voted for Bananas, that still wouldn't have been enough?
If Wes voted for Bananas and Corey had voted for Bananas, yes. But Wes voted after Kayla.
But before Corey. So that just to me, it's like, yeah, I mean, I think it was sort of a domino of like, it wasn't happening at that point. But like, to me, the big moment here was Wes sort of has the decision in his hands and maybe he doesn't. Like, how much, Nikolai, was Wes's vote for Jay a vote to save Bananas or a vote because Wes didn't think that he had the numbers sufficiently or that it was too soon? Like, do you think that this alliance is going to go the distance or this was just early days?
I don't think this alliance is going to go the distance. But I think that because Kayla went rogue, that Wes, since he had gone after, I think Corey, because Corey was the last vote, I think Corey could have decided. If Wes went with Bananas, then Corey's the deciding vote. And I,
that's a bad look for Wes, right? To vote against Bananas and then Corey not follow suit.
Exactly. So I think that Wes was cornered there and that he had to vote for Jay if he wanted to either maintain the relationship with Bananas or at least maintain the illusion of the relationship with Bananas.
Ryan, how's the Bananas? And oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know why they're playing it so obvious that they're working together, but I guess maybe there's no way to hide it. But I just think it's so over the top the way that they're just so bro-y this season. Like, obviously they're working together. Even DJ Mel Reeves is picking up on it.
DJ Mel Reeves. I'm dead. Brian, how do you see the Bananas and Wes story ending? I mean, do you think they're the ones of the elimination? Like, so they really do go the distance, or are they going to turn on each other?
I think, first of all, with CT being knocked out, I think it's clear that the line in the trailer of like, never, we've been waiting for this for 20 years. I think it has eventually be Bananas and Wes going in against each other. I think that's now a foregone conclusion. It's just a matter, I guess, how we get there. But yeah, I think if, you know, through the first couple episodes, you see Bananas and Wes making such a big deal, both of them, out of like them working together. I just don't think there was any way that Wes was going to play that up so much. And then like the first chance he can and the second male elimination, he's going to throw that all away. Like, I think they're both too smart entertainment wise about what they're setting up here, that there is no chance they were going to turn it on each other this quickly. I think one of them will turn on each other, but it'll be much later on.
I mean, it's also like, I don't think it's the right move. Like, yes, I totally agree with you for entertainment, but like, you know, Bananas and Wes are a shield for each other. And while they have other options, because Wes, you know, has worked with a lot of these people before, and, you know, Bananas has other options also, like, it doesn't make any sense for them not to work together. They, you know, you need people on the tribunal who are going to have your back and throw you in. You need people to not vote for you. Like, I don't think that it makes any, I think if Bananas goes in, Wes is not too far behind him.
Right. And I think the key that they both see is,
your silence.
They obviously both know they want to go in. They just want to have complete control over how and when. And maybe they're both hoping for what you guys have mentioned, like a purge at some point where if you win, you automatically go in. So, like, I think they both are prepared that at some point they will go in. I think they just want to have the control over it. And now, in the meantime, I think they want to have some fun with this. So I think they're going to continue to play it up.
So Jay gets voted in. Bill McGrath wants to know, don't know how many episodes are planned, but isn't it idiocy to put Jay in again? There has to be only a limited number of spots for getting to get into purgatory and qualify for the final. No. Also, Jay's a beast. Well, spoiler alert. But like, does this make sense to keep voting in Jay, Nikolai?
I think it depends. Well, because you never know what the challenge is going to be. So like this one was kind of more of a puzzle. And the last elimination he was in was like his strength as a rock climber, like played directly to that challenge. So, I mean, I think Jay is super self-aware, and he even says before the challenge actually happens, like, if this is a hall brawl, I hope I don't get CT or Rogan. But if it's strategy or if it's some kind of puzzle, give me anybody. And I think that, you know, they still need to figure out what kind of challenges that they're going to be before they really can settle in on a plan or a strategy about how, who you should vote in and who's going to be a layup on what kind of challenge. So at this point, I think that you probably want to throw in like more people and not repeat people, because you want to have a chance to get a Red Skull.
Do you think, Brian, that Jay is going to be safe for the next guy's elimination, or you think they're going to continue?
I think they might continue to vote him in. And honestly, I don't see a reason why they wouldn't. Like, it's not like you have to beat someone with a Red Skull to go in. So I think really the smart thing is to continually throw the same person over and over again, because then it limits the amount of people that would be in the final. It doesn't matter if other people are going in. Like, if you keep voting in Jay, and then whoever beats Jay, that's the person you should just keep throwing in. And then everyone goes down the line getting going against them. I feel like that's probably that's the better move for everyone. I just don't see that happening, but theoretically, that's what I would want to do.
Yeah, but the second that, you know, if CT won this elimination or if Rogan wins an elimination, like, that's certainly not what's going to happen, right? Like, I think you care less about fewer people getting to the final than you do about you being the one to get to the final and not having to go against Rogan or Jordan or whatever, at least at this early stage. Maybe I'm wrong there, but I don't know. I more mean, like, has Jay intimidated people through this? Or, you know, like Nikolai was saying, like, this is a puzzle. Are people still not afraid of going against Jay, like, thinking a physical challenge has to be coming?
I'm with you there. I think that he may not be safe in the next men's elimination because they're probably thinking, oh, he's due for a physical challenge, and then we'll just throw a big guy against him, and then somebody else will be the one with the red skull.
To Jay's credit, he does seem to be working the relationships with the women of the house, not just D, but, like, you know, it says a lot for the women to sort of try to flip the vote with Jay when they're going to need, you know, the powers that be on the men's side to vote with them next week. Like, it kind of doesn't really make sense to go out on a limb to help Jay. So he must be playing a pretty good social game.
Sure. But also they were trying to flip it to Bananas. Them trying anyone, to flip it to, I feel like if it was trying to flip it to anyone else, they might not get behind it. But I think a lot of people see, like, the oohs and ahs of trying to flip it to Johnny, and they're like, all right, well, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's make a big move. Let's do it.
Let's talk about the night scene, Brian. Were you happy to get
I think I think we now reached the point. I was surprised it even took this long, but, like, who even cares if they're in a bunker anymore? Like, they can go out to a club. I think they were sitting outside, like, in the parking lot after they got home. Like, it was CT, and, like, they were just, like, smoking outside. So I think it's now very clear that them being trapped in a bunker was just for show for one episode. It is now completely useless, and I hope they just move to a sunny resort and we can just get back to the way things should be, because they really just added nothing to the show.
Now, can you both, and maybe they mentioned this on the show and I missed it, but if they didn't, can you both give me your best guess of to what the theme of this party was?
I thought it might have been Halloween, but I was just like, I was like, what is going on? Why is everybody dressed up like spooky?
Yeah, I thought the theme was like monsters or like my night terrors. I don't know. Everybody looked terrible to me. Like, even the people who looked good looked awful. I did not understand. It's like, I used to look at pictures like when I was in college, and like some people would post pictures from a party from like another school, and I would always try to guess what the theme was based on the costumes. I have no idea what this was. Maybe it was Halloween. I don't know when this film. Maybe that tracks,
actually.
Yeah, I think it was
filmed in the fall, so I think it does track.
Good. All right, good job, guys. Whatever. But Cliff Stewart
says... Did you guys notice that, like, a lot of people were dressed up in the same costumes, too? There was, like, twins for everything.
Yeah, it was very basic. It was a very basic Halloween, if it was a Halloween. So many repeats. Brian, I feel like you didn't really connect with the costumes.
Whatsoever.
Thank God Nikolai is here for many reasons, but for the costume coverage, at least, also. Cliff Stewart says, is there a worse storyline than D and Rogan? If so, please discuss. Brian, is there a worse storyline than D and Rogan?
Yeah, I mean, we lived through Cara and Pauly for like a decade. So, yeah, this is a lot better.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's not be so quick, everyone, to... hate what we have now. You know, we spent seasons slogging through Pauly and Cara. I agree. It's very grab your barf bags, but like, let's hold down. Haley Strong, I think, puts it really well. She says, would you trade what is obviously going to be a season long gong show would you trade what is obviously going to be a season long gong show that is Dean Rogan for another season of Cara and Pauly? Nikolai, where do you stand on Cara and Pauly? Are you missing them this season?
Absolutely not. I hope they never come back.
Ooh, there's a hot take.
I can't. Pauly, I actually don't mind. And it was really just as Cara just really turned me off the past couple seasons.
And you don't say.
Yeah. That's the hot take right there. But yeah, I mean, Pauly, he's from what I could gather from it, he's kind of just playing it up, and like I think he said even a couple times, like, Cara likes when I go crazy, so I do it just to make her happy. But yeah, I mean, I'll take D and Rogan all day over those two.
So now that we're appreciating Dee and Rogan a little bit by putting them in perspective, let's absolutely wreck them, because I have a theory. Brian, I don't think Rogan cares at all about Dee and Jay's hookup. I think Rogan is using this just to get CT to put him in. I don't buy for 1 second that Rogan cares at all.
That's a fun theory. I think maybe there's some partial truth to it, but I think there's probably some partial truth to him being annoyed seeing his ex hook up with someone right in front of him. Same thing with why Dee was upset. So I think they were both upset. Maybe Rogan skewed more towards wanting to go in, and I like the theory. I'll stamp that with approval.
Nikolai, what do you think? Is your tinfoil hat on or like full no?
I know it's not what you want me to say, but I agree with you guys. I think that it really doesn't bother him at all. And maybe on like a very, you know, had a couple drinks and I don't want to see that. And I think he even said that I'd rather not see that. But he also knows that he has her in his back pocket, and that, like you said, he has a case then to go in, and I want to be the one to take out Jay. I know that if CT goes in, he'll beat him, but I want to be the one to do it. And I think that he was making a play there.
It also gives him permission. Like when Jay is, you know, power to Jay, because if he thinks he's definitely going home, like he makes a quick drama with a showmance. And then he also is heckling Rogan and creating a nice case for himself to come back, assuming he loses, which he did not. But, you know, Jay's like, you're a coward to want to go against me. And now Rogan can be like, I can't wait till next week when people are 2 weeks or whatever. At some point, you know, maybe someone's going to say like, Rogan, you can take out a bigger threat for the final. And Rogan's going to be like, oh, no, I just it's a personal thing. I want to go against Jay, not because I'm scared to go against every other guy in the house.
The accent and then
you forget
off.
That he's always wanted to go to a final.
Shut up. What were you saying, Nikolai?
I was just saying that you guys forget that Rogan's always wanted to go into a final and to an elimination.
Right, of course. Of course.
Oh, I forget that? Are you adding me? Yeah, right.
He claims that he's always wanted to go into an elimination even before the red skull thing, and yeah, I'm sure.
Against someone he thinks he could definitely beat, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I also think like what we said this last week, it's like, you know, The edit makes Dee look crazy, but like Rogan's obviously got to be giving her something. It's not just like out of nowhere for she's like Bert holding a torch for him. What is it holding? I don't even know. Whatever. That she's pining for him with absolutely nothing back. And at least we see him saying this stuff to her. Like, I'm upset by it. What upsets me is like, Dee's like, okay, I'm automatically going to go back off of this because I love and respect Rogan, just like he did for her last week with Jen. But I hope that this is more game from Dee, although I don't think it is, that like Rogan is a strong ally for her and potentially worth more in the game than Jay. But she's got it bad, ladies and gentlemen. She's got it bad for Rogan.
Absolutely.
All right. There's nothing, Brian, ever since you called out the stupidity of the tribunal, it's like I can't even watch the scene.
I like the fact that the only reason why they chose Bear, because they just knew he would like the attention. And then sure enough, the only thing he said of merit was like, they're going after my girl Kayla. I can't have that. And that's all that we got. That was the tribunal.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah, no, the case for Bear stands for sure. Although I worry, you know, listen, stay listening to the podcast when Bear screws over Kayla, because I'm going to have some words for that, I'm sure. But for now, I like it. Yeah, I love CT. I like when they break the fourth wall a little bit there. Like, you know, Bear wants Bear wants the airtime. He loves it.
Yep.
Should we get to purgatory, guys? Sad, sad purgatory.
Let's do it.
Did you guys think there was a chance that CT would not send himself in?
I didn't
know. I mean, yeah, I was ready for it.
I thought it was
It was so cool when he did it, though. Mm-hmm. He, like, unzips, is like, ah, oh, man, like, reveals the jersey. We all knew he was wearing the jersey when he reveals the jersey. I thought that was so fun. Was this too vague, though? Like, and maybe this is, you know, CT underestimating Jay. Like, We see a bunch of heavy shit, which looks good for CT. But Bailey says this looks like a puzzle because it's kind of the same number of heavy things. And there's nothing set up for physical contact. So, you know, it's going to be some sort of non head to head matchup. Was this too much of a toss up to send yourself in for? Or maybe are we going to see at least people hesitating before they send themselves in future weeks?
Yeah, but you
weeks,
know what's
Brian?
Interesting with CT is like, yeah, he's like this big specimen, of course, but what he's honestly one of the best at is puzzles. Like that's how he won this challenge. The first part of the challenge, doing a puzzle. He's won a couple eliminations before doing the puzzle. He's like always a key part of doing puzzles in finals. So he's actually very smart and good at this type of stuff. So if I was him and I'm seeing like a combination of a puzzle with physical strength, if I was him, I would think even more so. Like, yeah, let me do it. I'm ready to go.
Nikolai, do you think they're purposely trying the powers that be in the challenge to set up ambiguous looking eliminations? Because now that I think about it, we had the first one, which was just like a bar in the air with a glass window in between. Then we had last week was just like ambiguously weighted barrels tied to a stick. And this one is, you know, a prison cell with heavy shit around it. So do you think we're going to continue to see hard to read eliminations?
I think so, because you have like now everyone's incentivized to go in. So I think that this in the past, all three eliminations we've seen so far, that the decision was made before they hit the floor there. So I think that CT had confidence in his puzzle abilities, even though they saw that it was a puzzle. And I don't think he was really going to get shaken because he said a couple times he thinks this is his only shot to actually get a red skull. But I think that it is good for production to do that and to keep it ambiguous, to keep them on their toes and maybe have a couple more live like decisions.
Jeremy Hamilton, last year's winner, great podcast guest, says, does the challenge need to change up their editing style with eliminations? Once everyone was going on and on about how amazing CT was and how he would crush Jay, it signaled to me that Jay was going to win. They do that fake out edit so much that it's now spoils the end for me. Brian, were you spoiled by the heavy CT?
Yeah, so I was torn. So obviously when you see all those clips, you think, oh, so there's the old roundabout fake out. But then I thought like maybe like sometimes they've done where they go so over the top, even like last week with Jenny, like their eyes, well, Jenny's going to dominate. And then she just absolutely dominates. So I thought that's more where they were going, where, all right, CT's going to crush. She look at CT dominating. He's crushing. Jay has no chance. And then CT would dominate and Jay would have no chance. So they've done it before where they've gone so much so one way that it does go that way. So that's where I was more leaning this was going to go still.
See, I get nervous whenever there's a voiceover clarification. Like there was a clear voiceover of TJ saying like, you have to open the door all the way for it to count. And I was like, is CT going to lose this on a freaking technicality that like the door was like only 3/4 open? So I'm at least glad that didn't happen because that would have been like, you know, not really a coup for Jay and still we lose CT. But I was thinking it doesn't look great when the fans are cheering, be careful, Jay. Like it was almost so sad for Jay that I was with you, Brian. But Nikolai, how shocked were you that Jay beat CT here? Would you have believed me if I told you last week, like, hey, do you want to be on the podcast this week? Jay is going to beat CT in an elimination.
I wouldn't have thought that was going to happen, but I did get faked out and I did get faked out by the edit here. So may not be as astute as last year's winner, but yeah, I mean, it was very heavy in that direction. And then once CT picked up those heavy ropes and started knotting them, I thought Jay was finished.
I'm still shocked. I mean, to me, like Jay beat CT from what we saw, looked like a very small amount of time was the difference. And I do think it did come down to CT like having to take more breaks, or like to me it was sort of weird that he was smashing the cinder blocks because he didn't want to like lift them and pull the ropes through. I think that ended up taking more time.
And then we like when he's doing that and Nisa's like, oh, look at CT working so much smarter by like I didn't understand what he was doing.
Yeah, he was just trying to brute force his way through it. And then same at the very end when it was like that thin chain or whatever that somebody had earlier had said like, oh, CT will just rip through that. And that's what he tried to do. He just tried to rip through those chains.
Yeah, and I think that kind of stuff, like, yeah, if you can pull it off, is smart, but if it's going to take you four times picking up a cinder block and smashing the block and more time just trying to yank at the chains than to untie it. I think this was a slow and steady wins the race kind of thing.
Even more shocking of a result was whenever we see these types of upsets, sometimes you could see it coming. Like, it's all, look at him, be like, he's giving him a good run of it. He might win here. This was just like CT dominating. And then all of a sudden, J won. It just came out of nowhere that it even added more so to the shock level.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I do think they never really relented. I mean, we saw CT like slowing down, but to your point, like, we still got Anissa being like,
right,
he's so brilliant, like, this is great. Like, we never got a turn of like, Jay's doing pretty well. Like, and we never got that sort of twist.
Like, when Jay swung the door open, like, everyone was just like, it was like, what, like a meme come to life, how like shocked they were. Like, oh my God, he won. Like, what just happened? Like, no one even in the moment was thinking that Jay was about to win.
And your boy Nelson got a great reaction there too.
I love Nelson though at the beginning being like, what's up, Jay? What's up, CT? Like, what? Just like, go with go sports, like, go teams. Everyone's great.
Yeah. That's pretty much everyone. They're just cheering for both sides. It's rare that they actually, or at least in this one, nobody really cheered for one person. They were just going both ways.
So what's the reaction now? Like, CT's going to go for a tune-up, which I'm scared if CT's going to come back fit. Like, there's no stopping CT. But what's the takeaway? I mean, I have a question to tee you guys up, but then I want to hear generally your thoughts, because I'm still processing. Alec Mariano says, Marinaro. I don't know. I've brought Boston Rob on my brain, whatever. To CT losing to Jay, the house's, quote, biggest layup, show that everyone should not let the new twist affect their strategy this season. Elimination's always risky. Just because you go in early doesn't mean someone won't throw you in again and put you at risk later in the season. Are people reading too much into this to send themselves in early? I mean, I think we know CT would have had much more life in the game had he not gone in this.
I mean, I think...
Nikolai. Brian, whoever, me, we'll go back to me.
I think it all depends on the person. I think if you're CT, you know, you just had a kid, you have your whole life at home, like, you're not going to want to sit around here and never get a chance at going to a final and then just be sent home. I think for him, this was absolutely the perfect spot. Like, let me go in early. Let me go in against someone that I think I could beat. And if I win, I can feel pretty good that no one's going to come after me later on and I can just glide my way to the final. Whereas someone like a rookie who really needs to make a name for themselves, that's where they really need to think carefully about, maybe I should try to wait a little bit. So I think each person has to decide where they best see themselves in their challenge future beyond this season also, and go make their best decision possible.
Yeah, and I think that, like, you hear Swaggy talking about how he doesn't want to go in, and it could be part of what you guys were talking about before and last week about how they're trying to be keen on how to have longevity in the game and come return again, because you know, the more airtime you get, the more possibility you have to come back. But they may be also just thinking of, well, at some point I'm going to get thrown in as a rookie, that at some point I'll get thrown in here and I don't need to force it early, because let these people fight it out, and people who are trying to figure out what's going on fight it out first.
What do we think this means for Jay? Like, and did Nikolai, is Jay like punched his ticket to return? If he goes out, you know, the next male elimination, and let's say he does nothing, he's purple and he just goes out to whoever next in 2 weeks. Is he coming back based on this alone?
On this win against CT? I don't know. I think that Jay does bring a lot to the table, and then potential drama with Bananas as well, that may or may not pay off this season. But I think that you're going to ask me that question about, well, I know that he's definitely more likely to come back than the last two that got eliminated.
I think that's fair. I underestimated Jay coming into the season. I'm really sad. And my first instinct, honestly, watching the episode was to somehow like try to take this away from Jay. But it's like, that's messed up. Like, I can't take it away from Jay. Like, Jay doesn't give up here. Jay comes in gonna give it his best shot against someone crazy like CT. He has nothing to lose. That's the other thing. It's like, see, if Jay goes out to CT, then you know what? Jay went out to CT. A lot of people who are bigger and tougher and more experienced than Jay have gone out to CT. Where, and like, and he's a huge fan. Like, it kind of, Jay's reaction to going against, not to make it weird, bro, but I put me in the fan shoes, you know, like Jay, and this is a lot of what Brian likes about Nelson. I think Jay is giving that too, where it reminded me, like, imagine even meeting CT, much less meeting him in an elimination on the challenge. Like, that would be so crazy that just that experience is sort of enough. And the fact that Jay does not get intimidated, still gives it his best shot, and pulls out a win. Do I think that Jay is the most intimidating person moving forward? No, because I think this is sort of like, it could have been anyone's day today. You know, like, it's still crazy cool that he beat CT, but I think other people could have beaten Jay. Like, I don't think this establishes him as like an insane beast, but I think it gives him a lot of respect. It certainly earned TJ's respect. And when I get over losing CT, I'll give him respect.
I thought the scenes of Jay admiring CT, and even afterwards, like almost like thank you, and like, this is like an honor. Like, that's the stuff that I live for. I love that type of stuff. And I love how they revere some of these people. They go on as fans. Like, that was awesome.
Alex, here's some shade. Ready? As we just gave all of our respect to CT, and I'll toss this to Brian, not to make Nikolai go out on a limb here, and I certainly don't want to. Alex Tria says, should anyone still be calling CT the strongest in the house anymore if he refuses to get in challenge shape? I feel if he was in a little better shape, he would have won that elimination easily.
I mean, he did just win a final, so you can't say he's that out of shape. I mean, maybe he rode that a little too much into the sunset in between seasons, but I mean, he still put together a pretty good thing. I don't know. Is he the strongest in the house? Maybe not, but he's not someone I actually would want to like go up against.
I think he may be physically the strongest, but I mean, this one ended up being more about endurance than it was about like, you know, just brute strength. So I don't necessarily think that he's not the strongest physically in the house, but I think that, yeah, if he would have gotten a little more shape and worked on his endurance a little bit, I think he probably would have won this one. Cause I mean, this was a pretty close finish here. So
I also think Jay had the advantage of, like, if you could go back and do it again, it's like move the heavy stuff in the first 10 minutes like Jay did and then go to the ropes. Because I think it was really smart to see Jay intertwining the cement blocks with the ropes. But also B, then you have, you know, the 5-10 minutes you're tying ropes while still strenuous to move those heavy ropes. You're not running back and forth and you're conserving some energy for removing all of the stuff. Mm-hmm. I think CT really burnt himself out, like moving all of the heavy stuff in the last like 5 minutes. I didn't ask you guys. I really liked this challenge overall, though. It was a nice twist on that, like, old classic that I don't remember what it's called, but when they had to like tie the big rope around the jungle gym and then untie it. So I think this was a nice twist on it overall. I really liked the challenge and would like to see it again. Brian, do you agree? You said yep. So I feel like that
thumbs up all around.
All right, Van, I feel like I know what you both are going to say to this, but let's see how well I've learned, how much I've learned about Nikolai in this short hour so far we've had together. Van Coro says, I know I'm probably too late, but why don't they bring back the relic or whatever it was called that appeared in season 33, where if you won an elimination, you can't get thrown into the next one? Doesn't that twist mix it up and keep different people constantly going in? And isn't that better TV? Nikolai, you like good TV. Would a relic make this better TV?
I think I would like to have that in there because it'll force them to not just fall back on the same person over and over. So I'm in favor of that. Yes.
Brian, I feel like I know what you're going to say.
I would be fine with that. I'm also okay with them not doing it. I think if they want to go down the route of voting the same person every time, like, that's just the way it's going to go this season. But like, if they had it in there, I wouldn't be begging them to take out the relic. So indifferent.
What I would prefer, and you know, it's not just because I'm from Jersey, but I want the grenade. Like, give the person who wins a slap a red skull on him and give him the opportunity to hinder somebody in the next challenge and give themselves a boost. so that they have a better chance of being in some power. So like they're not necessarily safe, and it's, you know, it's still early days in the game where maybe it won't help them that much, but give them some, you know, give them a little boost. I think a relic's too much. Give them a grenade.
You think there should be one thing I thought of? You think there should be any merit to, like, the TJ gave Jay a second Red Skull, which like does absolutely nothing. But should there be any merit to, if you have two skulls and you lose an elimination, should that give you safety? Where now, like, even if you lose a skull, you still have a skull, so you can still go to the final.
Wow.
So you're saying that they would not, I guess they would go into an elimination, and if so, Jay in the next men's elimination, if he goes in and loses, that he wouldn't right. be eliminated from the
game. He would just
lose
a skull.
He would just lose a skull yeah. to whoever he lost to. I guess in quarantine, we could go for a season that long. But I wouldn't agree with that. I would rather see them, you know, even if you have six skulls, you know, you go into elimination, you lose an elimination, you're out of the game. I think that part of the game you have to.
But what's the point then of giving Jay a second skull? Like, what does that do? Does having more skulls, like, does that, or does it give you an advantage in the final? Like, I just don't, like, what was the point of that? Like, who cares if you have two? If you have one or if you have 12, what's the difference?
Part of it is that, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you may have to take a drink in the final then, because then we may be making up rules on the fly there. But they had introduced in the first episode that like everybody that's participated before and won an elimination or has won, you know, won it all, has those stickers on their helmet. So I think it's more of like a respect thing and just kind of, you know, just taking names on there and getting your tally up and for the respect more than it is for
you're coming
an
with too much sense.
Game.
You're like really, you're really falling out of place with this podcast. You're like, you're making too much sense.
Well, when I emailed Nikolai, I was like, oh, I'm going to give you instructions over the weekend. Obviously sent it to him this morning. And he was like, okay, I've already downloaded Audacity and I'll test it before the podcast. And I was like, you don't belong here at all. I agree with Nikolai. That was my sense too, that just like they're already keeping track. Although I've not once noticed the other badges. I'm missing that.
I haven't either.
All right. So that takes us through the episode, I think. And our questions, but we're not done here because we keep adding segments. All right. Let's thank our 5-star reviewers, VO952 and Challenge Gal. We really appreciate it. If you want to give us a 5-star review or a review of any kind, listen, you know, whatever, you're bored, it's quarantine. You could do so at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Now, I like to set a little bit of a goal. Do you know we have 601 ratings? 544 of them are 5 stars. So maybe check on your friends who have left us good reviews. But can we, by the end of the season, get to 600 5-star reviews? I don't know. That's a lofty goal. But we're going to be here a while. So we'll be, you know, we aim high here. I mean, we aim low enough to usually meet our goals. Maybe I should have started with 550, but I already said 600. So we'll see what happens. This is our 6th year. So maybe we get to 600. But thank you to everyone who's already reviewed us. You want to go? We'll start with Nikolai. Do you want to go Twitter or you want to go drinking game?
Let's do drinking game first.
All right. So we had 9 instances. We had 1 British slang for snog, 1 sending yourself into elimination, 3 burn votes, and 4 times TJ said my final, which is now my favorite thing because now I constantly hear it. So it's the best.
Quick question. Is the rule if you send yourself into an elimination or if you talk about sending yourself? So how could 3 drinks be for 1?
No, just 1.
You must be talking about it.
Three.
I was like, 3 burn votes. That's fine if it's 3.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I was excited. I was a little relieved to see the return of the burn vote talk because otherwise that's a stupid rule.
Yeah, so this was going to be sort of mean, but I think we're approaching one of the most purple someone has ever been on a show before. I know there's no degrees of purple, but I'm declaring degrees of purple. So anytime Casey speaks, that is not narration. Take a drink.
So is no, it, not, be, so it not a confessional.
It just can't be she confessional. Like, and on today's challenge, we're lifting these. Like, it has to be something of like her own merit. Anytime okay. she speaks of her own merit and it makes air, take a drink.
Would that have resulted in any?
I think she spoke once
so
in the
far?
Premiere.
I don't think so.
And then I noted it that she had a confessional last night. But again, it was nothing. It was just a narration. So I don't think she was appeared in the second episode. So look out for that.
She did cast a vote, so and she said something. So I feel like
just
that
one.
Would be
let's
one.
Let's see how high this gets, because I think I don't know. It's gonna take a while until we reach like 10.
I think that's a funny rule, harsh but real. My rule is gonna be: anytime someone does something or mentions their motivation to do or not to do something. Because they're afraid of someone else's significant other. So originally this was just going to be Bailey. Like Anissa's comment is what triggered this. Like that like, oh, Bailey might still be mad, but Swaggy will get over it. But then I thought a little broader and it's like Jay almost doesn't want to hook up with D because of Rogan. And then, you know, Tori's throwing Jordan's weight around. So let's at least make those moments fun. And anytime someone, you know, does or does not do something because of someone else's sigo, take a drink if you want to. Now we'll go to Nikolai for your addition to the game.
So mine is just going to be for any time that Bear makes googly eyes or talks about how in love with somebody he is.
This is amazing. It's hard to find a rule that we have not said before. And you said when you came on that this was going to be season specific.
No,
I don't
forever.
Think it's going to be season specific. I think this is going to be forever.
I think Bear is going to, he's going to be on for quite a while. Yeah. So yeah.
There are only a few certainties in life. And one of them is Bear making googly eyes or being in love on the challenge.
That's right.
All right, let's get to thanks to Kyle Picard for tracking our nonsense. And thank you to Megan Elizabeth for keeping us up to date on the Twitter. Let's get to it. I have to say, this season is some of the richest Twitter we have just by quantity, because like normally they're filming the next season or they're like living their lives. I'm not grateful for quarantine. I wish they were filming the next season. I wish we were all out of this safe and healthy. But as another note, we are getting a lot of Twitter. I'm not silver lining, but just separately, we are getting a lot of Twitter from these people. So Tori Deal in a sweet tweet says, "You know you made it when your idols become your rivals. Jay, I love your attitude and respect for competition. No matter what happens, you're having a sick rookie season."
Sounds like a Rupert tweet.
That does sound like a Rupert tweet. Oh, that was actually, oh shoot, that was at Tori Bot. I read that wrong. Swaggy C says, quote, "Rookie's not doing anything. Bailey won a who's saying that? Did someone say that on the show? I feel like nobody's saying that.
No, I think that's just Swaggy.
Last week, Swaggy was like, "I'm not going to argue with people on Twitter," but okay. "Rookie's not doing anything. Bailey won a challenge today and got crazy week one in the nominations. I've been in two tribunals." Shrug emoji. "Jay got two red skulls, sent two people home. Fessy is scaring people off his stature alone. What are we talking about again? 5 question marks. Now, here's what's great about this tweet. Some things are not like, which of these things is not like the other? Like Swaggy being in two tribunals because Bailey won is not the same as Jay getting two red skulls and sending CT and Asaf home. But I get the point.
Is Fessy even doing it? Like, I guess he is scared. Like, that's like a perception thing. That's not like doing anything. But yeah, sure.
Here we go. Here's an explanation. "Swaley gang blanket. Our fans made that for us. It comes with us everywhere. TV shows, flights, hotels, everywhere. I mean, when you're
definitely
married, you can
do things
like
that."
Shrug emoji. Fire. Ryan, if your wedding was after this season, you better believe you were getting Swaley gang blanket. Not with you and Emily, but with Swaley on it. Oh my god, where's the Challenger hop up gang blanket? We don't have one. Okay. All right. Okay. There's some crazy. Oh, this is Jay. I was like, who is this guy? Okay, Jay's body is crazy now. For as go to Instagram, I even recognize him. Woo, liked by Bryce Isaiah. Woo, Chile.
Jay posted. He's coming back next season.
Yeah, he's now he's Jay is going to be the story of the career challenger who comes back like totally yoked after being like a layup. Jay posted a picture of his rockin' bod, and he wrote, I believe that's Jay. I mean, he's wearing a bandana for anyone who's like, why can't you just recognize him by face? But good on him. He says, they say you can't do it. They say you are either too weak, too small, too stupid. They say it's impossible. It doesn't matter what they say. How far am I going to get in reading this? Who are they anyways? By the way, were they, just to be clear. Who are they anyways? The true question is, who the F are you? What do you believe? What will you say? What will you do? Sounds like the four questions. This is your story. Write it the way you believe it should be written. Write it without a doubt in your mind that you are the effing greatest, because you are. In order to be a legend, capital L, you must go against capital L legends. You must bring a fight like no other. I can't do it. This life won't be easy if you want to be remembered. It will be a long and difficult road. They will try to destroy you and bring you down anyway. They can. It's up to you to stand up, to say and do what you believe. So if you have a dream, get out there and start living it. I am living mine. Are you living yours? #StayLoco. This is Sparta. He didn't say that. That's just me adding.
Chills.
What the hell?
How many tweets was that?
That was an Instagram post.
Oh, okay.
But it was lengthy.
Very lengthy, yeah.
Brian, they will try to destroy you and bring you down.
Sounds like a Jason Bateman like action movie.
I'm gonna book a cameo when you least expect it and have Jay read this. Shirtless with a bandana over his face. Woo! Okay, sorry, that killed me. All right, digital communications manager Megan Elizabeth doing the most, pulling that from Instagram, but we appreciate it. Kayla tweeted, breaking news, Wes got rid of his beard, which, quote, shaved at least 10 years off his appearance. He now looks not older than 40. Hands over the eyes monkey emoji, laugh cry emoji, volcano erupting emoji. That's a new one. Wes said, Kayla effing, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Casillas?
Casillas?
That can't be right. Casilla? All right. Cassis. Isn't it just like Cassis? All right. My brain doesn't work. Kayla effing Cassis checking into the comedy club. Welcome. I'm taking the stage soon. Thanks for opening for me. Okay, Wes. But here's a pretty funny one from Wes. He says, if 2020 was a challenger, and it's a mirror selfie of Kyle.
I did see that one.
He's been pretty purple lately also, Kyle.
Kyle, yeah. Well, Kara's not around.
Here's something nauseating from Wes. Morgan Willett tweeted, can someone explain to me how boys can sit in one spot and play video games all day long? And Wes chimes in, boys can.
Well, Wes has all those companies and monster trucks to run, so okay. He's got a lot going on.
But what does boys to men do? Okay, sorry. I'm done.
Okay. Are we thinking that's a telegraph that maybe Bananas betrays Wes and he's trying to slide in on his girl?
Well, that's interesting because it's definitely a dig at Bananas because Morgan is quarantined with Bananas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's double time. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of like, well, I asked you guys what you think how this is going to resolve, but almost like, do you think this is going to stretch more than this season? Like, even almost no matter what happens this season, I feel like they could go back to being shit to each other. And they still are, right? He's like, he's my number one, even though he looks like a number two. That was a great line from Bananas.
It was. I think they'll probably go back to like going against each other. But they even when they've gone against each other, at least in recent years, it's always been like
like that friendlier like ribbing. So like I think they're well past like the hating each other stage.
Here's something fascinating. Dee posted a conversation between her and Wes where she says, "I hate you. Don't ever speak to me again. I'm never your number one. Bye." And Wes said, "OMG, you knew all along. Don't play." And she said, "I absolutely did not. We're through." Now, it'd be incredible if Dee would say that to Rogan ever, but I assume this is because Dee somehow didn't know that Wes and Bananas were working together. Like, what was this about?
It sounds like it can't really be more than that, right? Or unless she's tipping her hand to the rest of the season, but I would imagine that they're told they're not supposed to do stuff like that.
It does feel like she just like watched the episode and tweeted that and texted that to him, because she said, she also tweeted with it, "My number one spot is opened. Who wants to slide into my DMs? Tag your faves, devil emoji."
Also, looking at his contact photo, that looks like a picture of him from like 2006. So.
What? I think that was on him on her season.
I don't know. He looks super young there, though, so maybe it's just the lighting.
I think that, isn't that when like Wes came back, like slimmed down, and it was like a different whole new Wes? Don't quiz me. I don't know anything. But what do you think of this D reaction? Do we believe this D? I mean, it would be so sad if she could not get over Wes, but she can forgive Rogan for literally like, you know, pieing her off on national television.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Well, she's in love with a stripper.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? I'm trying to look at if she said anything else. She tweets like graphic, not graphic, but like hard hitting on tweets to Jay. You tell I don't like flirt with anyone on the internet. I was like hard hitting on texts. But I think that's all. Oh, I'm trying to look at if anything else Dee said about that, but no more real information. We'll see maybe as things go on. Anything else? Any final thoughts? Nikolai, was this the most disappointing hour and a half of your life?
No, I've been having a blast, and I really appreciate the chance to get on and talk to you guys. This has been a lot of fun. But I do have... Oh, I just want to shout out Maddie.
Oh, okay.
No. I just... Maddie. I'm a huge fan of Maddie. I've been watching her since Party Down South. So I'm glad to see her on here. And I think that she has some real staying power overall. And yeah, all the Brits. I'm behind them, involving them in the challenge at this point.
I like that you shout out Maddie here, because like she also has kind of been a little purple. But hopefully we do see more of her, because I love Maddie, too. Did you watch her on... Kentucky Wild, what is it called?
Florabama Shore.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I said that before. I feel like it was the podcast when I first said. I don't remember, but I often call it Kentucky Wild by accident. But she's great. Do you think Jeremiah's destined for the challenge or no?
No. Jeremiah is. He's a cornball.
He is. But have you seen the challenge?
Yeah, I guess that's true. And they just have giants on there. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we'll see him on there at some point. But I don't think it's really up his alley.
I would be thrilled to not see Jeremiah, to be clear. Yeah. I just worry with the introduction of the romance between Maddie and Jeremiah. That's a springboard to us having to talk about him. But maybe let's not give him any more time than we have to.
Please.
We don't have to talk about him. All right, Nikolai, this has been a blast. We get very, very lucky with our listeners and the people who come on with us. We have shockingly not needed any subs while we remain in quarantine. Knock on wood, Brian and I should still be here, but we'd love to have you on again at some point.
This was
a lot of fun.
Thanks.
You did great. And you have a podcast. You don't want to plug it. I think it's the time to revive it. We're in quarantine. You just dusted off yourself off here podcast-wise.
Yeah, I do have a maybe revivable podcast. It's called the Beta Male Book Club. We do book reviews, movie reviews, TV reviews, and album reviews. It has kind of been stagnant since October, but we did release a new episode in the past week. And I think at this point we're shooting for monthly, but conssistency is key, and it's I'm not promising consistency at this point.
Well, if consistency is key, Brian and I are screwed. Brian, should we save the birthday story for next week, or should we tell it now? Should we keep Nikolai on to hear this or no?
We have a good witty banter in our back pocket to kick things off. The tease in showbiz.
What a good tease. We'll just keep teasing till next week. All right, then I have nothing else.
Subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challenge. iTunes, you can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian _, and we're going to follow you, Nikolash.
I'm at a Twitter handle that Rob would hate, but it's Nick_is_jolly.
I support the underscores.
And yeah, that's my Twitter.
Is it N-I-K?
N-I-K, yeah. N-I-K okay. _is_jolly, J-O-L-L-Y.
We don't support Rob's Twitter BS here because he has criminally rated my Twitter handle low, which is, you can follow me at @LashTweets. That's all I have to say here. Sorry. I'm getting carried away.
We'll be back next week for Birthday Tales with Allie in episode 4. Until then, have a good one.